Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Thy kingdom come. We refer to that as the Lord's Prayer. Really, it's a pattern prayer. That is not a prayer that Jesus prayed, but he said, this is how you're supposed to pray. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. If there's a topic that is preached on very, very little today in the world in which we live, it's the millennial reign of Christ. The truth is, I don't think I've ever preached a message on it. I've taught it. We've talked about it in Sunday school. I don't know that I've ever preached on the millennial reign of Christ. So that's what I want to do this morning. I've got too much information. I've got passage after passage after passage. I've got all kinds of verses here in front of me. I got a fancy little 7-point outline, but I've got all kinds of things to go to, and I don't know that I know that I cannot preach everything I want to preach this morning. I don't know how the Lord is going to lead, and it might be this ends up being one of those 2-part messages. I don't know that. But I do know this. There is coming a day where we will rule and reign with Christ if you're part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And I want you to have some understanding concerning this. The millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ here on this earth, has been prophesied with scores of prophecies out of the Old Testament scriptures. Over and over and over again. In fact, for the Old Testament Jew, that was a mighty big thing. And so here we are in the Church of Jesus Christ, and we preach the gospel. That's what it's all about. That is the climax. Jesus dying on the cross, shedding his blood, and then rising again on the third day. Man, we love the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's how we get to heaven. And we that are members of the church, of the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, we will one day, after the rapture, after the tribulation, already preached those things, there's going to be a 1,000-year kingdom on this earth. This earth will be renovated because it's going to be pretty much destroyed during the tribulation. It will be renovated, temporary renovation, because at the end of the 1,000 years, it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But it'll be renovated, and we will live on this earth for 1,000 years. Now, that kind of rolls off the tongue real easy. 1,000 years. America has only been here a little over 200 years. The trees that you see outside here this morning that you pass by in order to get to Fundamental Baptist Church, there's a lot of trees up here. Man, at best, they're 100 years old. At best. There just aren't a lot. You know, things just, 1,000 years is a long time is what I'm trying to tell you. You're going to live your 70, and if by strength, maybe another 10 years after that. And I have met people that live older than that, but the majority of us, we don't get that long of a life. But we're going to live and rule and reign with Christ in a land that flows with milk and honey for 1,000 years. Let me tell you a little bit about this kingdom. Well, let me read it first. Revelation chapter 20, I'll just read a piece of it. Revelation chapter 20, turn there, verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven and having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. This is entering into the millennial kingdom. So Satan is in chains of darkness for 1,000 years, a millennium, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. We'll come back to that right at the end of the message. Satan is going to be bound in chains for 1,000 years. At the end, he's going to be loosed for a little season. Verse 4, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, they come out of the tribulation, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. I'm going to stop right there. Let me pray one more time. God, would you bless this morning? I don't want to muddy up the water. God, I've got a limited time for the radio. And God, a limited time to preach this morning. And I desire to be able to get right to it, cover what you want me to cover. And Lord, know when to shut up. God, would you empower me? Would you give me the right words? Would you anoint me this morning for the propagation of the gospel, for the preaching of the Bible? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thy kingdom come. We're to pray to that end. God, bring about your kingdom. Now, we're not going to usher in the kingdom of God with our own righteousness. We are not amillennialists. Things are not getting better. Things are getting worse. Just like the Bible said, these are those last days that the Apostle Paul warned us about and Jesus warned us about. For anybody to foolishly think the church is going to be revived and we're going to reach more and more of the world and more people are going to get right with God and serve God and eventually it's all going to get real good and then Jesus is going to, then we're going to usher in the kingdom with our own righteousness. That is foolishness. We are rescued out of this world system. That's called the rapture of the church. We are delivered from the wrath to come. Then the 7 years tribulation, Armageddon, and then the 1,000-year reign of Christ. We're to pray and look forward to that 1,000-year reign of Christ. There's a great day coming, a dazzling kingdom of light and glory, a millennium. It's going to be a great day, ruled by a perfect king. Won't be any politicians. A time like this earth has never seen, dominated by righteousness and goodness. And Jesus will be our king. And in that kingdom, in that 1,000-year reign, we will live and love and laugh and sing and serve and grow. It will be a wonderful time. Our king will rule, the Bible prophesies, with a rod of iron. It is expressed again in the book of Revelation. He will rule. Now, it isn't that sin will be absent, but the sin curse will be lifted. And people will be born into that kingdom that were born during that 1,000-year reign, and they are not yet born again. And they will need to choose Christ. So in that sense, sin will be present, but a rod of iron is how Jesus will rule. It will be a wonderful time. I want you to know this. I've got an outline in front of me of the rejection of the king, of the royal theocracy, the realization of the of promises fulfilled, the residence of the kingdom. I got to read the outline because I can't remember the outline myself. Righteousness of the kingdom, right worship, and rebellion. I'm going to try to get through all that this morning. Yeah, that's what I thought too. Yeah, John chapter 1. Would you turn there? John in chapter 1. Some of you are unbelievers. John in chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. That's like yesterday at Rachel and Hunter's wedding up in Newberry, up in McMillan. The line was eating all wrong. There was a real long line to get our food, and the line was supposed to start in the... Everybody was lined up over here, bunch of Baptists, all lined up over here just like sheep, and nobody... And really, everybody complained because the bread was in the middle. How am I supposed to get my bologna and my ham and my roast beef? And the bread was over here. And it took a preacher, somebody with a little bit of intellect. I said, wait a minute, people. We're supposed to start in the middle. The food over here is the same as the food over there, and we're supposed to split. It's supposed to be two lines. Nobody would believe me. It's just like you this morning. You know what? You know, we're sheep, aren't we? And in the same sense, when Jesus came, the people of God, the seed of Abraham, rejected him as the Messiah. The rejection of the king. Verses 10 and 11 of the Gospel of John, verse 1 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. We can't develop all these passages we're looking at, but that's talking about Jesus. He became, part of the Godhead became flesh. That's God the Son. And the world did not recognize him as the Messiah, as the Son of God. Israel as a nation rejected Jesus. Remember this? Give us Barabbas. We want Barabbas. And as a people of God, the seed of Abraham rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. It's not a whole lot different today, is it? Give us religion. Give us what we want. Give us our pleasures. And reject the Lord Jesus Christ. So there was the rejection of the king. But one day, there's going to be a coronation of the king. Amen. Thy kingdom come. It will be a wonderful day. Psalm 2, verse 9, speaks of that day. Revelation chapter 2, verse 27, speaks of that day. I guess what I want to say, I'll summarize some of this, but let's go to Hebrews in chapter 2. Hebrews in chapter 2. And verse 5, I believe, is what I want. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whether we speak of, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels, but thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Goes on, gives a gospel there, and it very simply tells us there is a great day coming when Jesus will be crowned king. It'll be a great coronation day. I said earlier, there won't be any politics in the millennial kingdom. None. There'll be a king, a theocracy, a royal theocracy. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There'll be a vice regent. I believe it'll be King David. And he also will rule, but it'll be under Jesus. And there'll be a chain of command, but Jesus will be our king. It is the millennial reign of Christ, not a political party, but of Christ. Not a certain style of government. In fact, it won't even be politics. He will rule with a rod of iron. The millennial kingdom also is a realization of promises fulfilled. I'll just list them. The Abrahamic covenant. That speaks of the land and the seed of Israel. The seed of Abraham, Israel. That'll be fulfilled during the 1,000-year reign. The Davidic covenant. That is of royalty, of the throne and the royal house. It's called the Davidic covenant. It will be fulfilled during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. The Palestinian covenant is the land. The new covenant is the new spiritual blessings and forgiveness and a new heart and fullness of the Spirit of God. You understand, all of that will be fulfilled during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It has not been fulfilled yet. So many of the Old Testament prophecies were for the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. That's why Jesus said, when you pray like this. Don't forget this. Thy kingdom come. There is coming a great day. There is coming a day where Jesus will sit upon the throne of David, and he will be the royal king, and he will rule over the entire earth, and he will rule with a rod of iron. And yet he'll be a benevolent king and a loving king, and the nations of the world will worship him. You say, why the rod of iron? Because the nations will rebel at some point. Man is still man. And I want to tell you, speak to you quickly about the residents of the kingdom. Here's who's going to be there. There's going to be the Old Testament saints and their glorified bodies. There will be the New Testament saints in their glorified bodies, the church. There will be angels, created beings of God. There'll be the tribulation saints in their glorified bodies. And then there will be those in their mortal bodies that enter into the millennial kingdom, believers, somehow survived, very few in number, the 7 years of tribulation. But they worship God, and they worship God. And then there will be those 1,000 years that will be their children, and they're not yet born again. And they'll need to choose Christ. That'll be the residence of the kingdom of God. Revelation chapter 21, would you turn there? Verses 12 through 14. and had a great wall, a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, and on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So here we read of angels, and we read of the Old Testament saints, and we read of the New Testament saints as far as leadership, and we know that they are going to be there. And then it goes on, it talks about the New Jerusalem, the holy city. That Jesus also spoke of in John in chapter 14. And yet we buried some of our loved ones and some before us that were part of the family of God. They got saved and they went the way of Adam and experienced death. But they were ushered into the presence of God. And Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you." And yet those people, saints, beloved saints that have died in Christ, they're right now in that New Jerusalem. I submit to you that they're there right now in the house of God. What's going to happen during the millennial kingdom? If I understand the Bible right, and this isn't only my view, and I've done a lot of studying on this, and man, you can study from now until you can spend a lot of time studying about the millennial kingdom. There's a lot of truths. I've always had this mindset, well, it's going to happen, doesn't matter. I need to be concerned about what's going on right now, and that is very true. But at the same time, the millennial kingdom is created by God for you and for me. It's going to be a time of great worship and great rejoicing, and I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. You say, what about the New Jerusalem? Here's how it's going to work. I'm pretty sure about this. Dwight Pentecost and his great work on eschatology, great Bible theologian, great Bible preacher from years gone by, been in heaven a long while now, but this is how he described this, what he found. He studied all the Old Testament prophecies, the minor prophets concerning the kingdom. Again, that is a great, the paper I wrote for my doctorate was on the minor prophets. Man, and I just scratched the surface. Man, unbelievable prophecies. The lion will lay down with the lamb. Things like that. All right? One language. Things like that. That's going to be during the millennial kingdom, not during this kingdom. But here's how it's going to work. God's going to renovate the earth after the 7 years of tribulation. The capital of the earth is going to be Jerusalem. That's the capital city. Hovering above the earth will be the New Jerusalem. John said, "I saw it descend." Look at chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. "And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." I don't think it actually settles on this earth. I believe in my thinking and others before me that the New Jerusalem will never settle on this earth. It'll be the new earth it settles on, but it will hover above the earth during that 1,000-year reign over Jerusalem. It will be the capital and those with glorified bodies. That's where we will live. And that will be our eternal state. And that will come in the earth to come as well, by the way. But it'll be the capital of the earth. And there the temple will be. And there there'll be memorial sacrifices. Boy, I'm all over my outline. I'm sorry. I tried to keep this in order. You know what? I'm just going to keep on preaching, and I'll look at my outline afterwards, and if I see something I forgot to preach, maybe that'll be part two, all right? That's how it'll happen. Today, here we are in the New Testament. Jesus died on the cross. He died for the sins. He died for sinners. He died for the sins of mankind, and he became sin for us. That's Calvary. That's Calvary. The church takes great glory in Calvary, in the cross, and Jesus, the Messiah, who shed his blood, the Lamb of God, who shed his blood, so that we as sinners could enter into God's heaven. And so we have a couple of ordinances in the New Testament church that helps us to remember Calvary. One is baptism. Picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. For those on the radio, I'm pointing at the baptistry right now out back, all right, at the front of the auditorium. When someone is immersed in the water, it's a picture of the death, the burial, they're buried in Christ, and the resurrection. It's a picture. It's symbolic. We see a convert get baptized. They're saying, "I'm all in for Jesus," and it reminds all of us of the cross. Then we have the Lord's table. We celebrate the Lord's table right here, the broken bread and the fruit of the vine. And it's symbolic. We're to remember Calvary when we partake of the Lord's table. It's an ordinance, two ordinances for the church, baptism and the Lord's table. Neither one of them are salvation. Both of them are pictures of salvation. What's already happened on the inside. Let's fast forward. If the rapture took place today, we'll fast forward through the tribulation because we're delivered from the wrath to come and go into the kingdom. The temple is rebuilt and Old Testament sacrifices are going to be reinstituted. You say, why would God do that? And that's what the prophecies tell us, Old Testament prophecies. A memorial. We will remember the price that was paid for our sins. And as the church, we'll look on and tears may stream down our cheeks as we remember the great price that was paid. And everybody, just as a memorial. I don't know how often, I don't know how much, but it'll happen. It'll be a great day. I look forward to it. It'll be a righteous kingdom. The culture we live in today is a culture that's characterized by uncertainty and danger and loneliness and darkness and hardness. For many, it's empty. But the kingdom of Christ will be a place of peace. The lion will lay down with the lamb. A place of rest, Revelation 14, 13. A place of holiness, Revelation 21, 27. A place of justice, of increased learning and knowledge. A place of service, 22, 3. The curse will be lifted. It'll be a place of labor, profitable, purposeful labor. Economic prosperity, abundant agriculture, increased light. According to the prophet Zechariah, it'll be a place of a unified language. This world has never known that kind of kingdom. A place of joy, a place of abundance, Revelation 21, 6. Eden-like conditions. I've often thought that in my little mind that heaven will probably be a lot like the Garden of Eden, created by God. And it will be. And the millennial kingdom is going to be a wonderful place. You'll love to go to church then. You know, it won't be, well, I have to go to church. Pastor Josh preached real good on that this morning, real eloquent. There are a lot of people, let me ask you, because worship is going to be right. In fact, I want to talk about right worship right now. Many people in the family of God go to church because they have to. I submit to you, that is not worship. You're not here to worship God. You look for ways to avoid God and avoid church. And I'm telling you, that is not worship. We have an early service at 9 o'clock and then Sunday school and then morning service at 11 o'clock and then evening service. And I don't know this for a fact. I don't know this to be true. But I know this because the people that come to Fundamental Baptist Church are sinners just like I am. Some people, I'm sure, are playing games with God and are punching a time clock and they're thinking, well, I'll go to church at 9 and then I won't have to go to church at 11. And, you know, I understand that. That was one of the reasons for the early service. But then others are not going to church at 9, coming for Sunday school, not going to church at 11. I just know how the human mind works. And in your mind, you're thinking, well, I'm putting in my time. I submit to you, that is not worship. And the early church, they met 7 days a week. And if you were really worshiping God, I think you would be here every chance you could be. That would be worship. And the millennial kingdom will worship God right. Look at chapter 19 in the book of Revelation. You see, it's got to be the heart. That's all God expects is the heart. When's the last time you worshiped? When's the last time as a child of God you honored Him? You worshiped Him. Chapter 19, verse 1. It says, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are His judgments. That's worship. We're going to worship. There'll be a great rebuilt temple and coronation service and sacrifices will be resumed, and it'll cost some people something, and it'll be a memorial. That sacrifice isn't going to save anybody. Nobody has to look ahead in faith to Calvary, not in the millennial kingdom. The King will be right there with us. Jesus will be right there with us, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And we'll worship Him right. I would tell you this morning that there's a great day coming. In that millennial kingdom, somewhere in the latter part of the kingdom, there'll be a rebellion. You say, how is that possible? They rejected Christ. Mankind, I say they, us. Mankind rejected Christ. The seed of Adam, Israel itself, rejected Christ when He came to this earth as the second person of the Trinity. He saves us by grace. He died on Calvary's cross. We get born again. It's all of grace. It's not of ourselves. We understand not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. And by the way, you better get saved while you have opportunity to get saved. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You may not have tomorrow. And your heart may get calloused and cold, and you don't want God tomorrow. Now is the time to get saved, all right? But it's all of grace. And then the wrath of God falls upon this earth like this world has never known. And He brings Israel back to God during the 7-year tribulation. Battle Armageddon. And then He enters into the kingdom, 1,000-year reign of Christ. We're all smiles, and it's all good, and it's a wonderful time. How could sinful man reject Christ again? Rebel against God again? And again, it's those children. It's those teenagers. You know, those that were born during the kingdom. Second-generation Christianity is a dangerous thing. We all know people that don't go to church. They grew up. Their parents are here. Their parents love God. Something happened. But they rebel against God, even in the millennial kingdom. Even when Jesus is there, they find a reason to rebel against Him. Look at chapter 20 and verse 2 and then verse 9. And He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, and gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went up by the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The Satan's going to be released. You say, why would God allow Satan to be released during the millennial kingdom? To give every boy that's become a man, perhaps, and every girl, small and big, it's 1,000 years, opportunity, a real opportunity to receive Christ or reject Him. That's why Satan will be released, and many will follow him. Isn't that something? We're such a sinful people. Now, that doesn't describe, that's not you, you're saved. If you're born again, you're going to God's heaven. If you're not born again and you're thinking you might make it to that time, I'm telling you, you're crazy. You're crazy. The Western Hemisphere isn't even listed in Bible prophecy. A quarter of the world is destroyed during the tribulation. Man, now is the day of salvation. You get saved today. Don't put it off. Don't think, well, maybe tomorrow. Don't think, well, when I get old. Oh, well, when I retire. Or when I get this or when I get that. Forget that. If God the Holy Spirit is calling you today, today is the day of salvation. God wants you in His family right now. You don't have to clean yourself up first. That's not how it works. Let Christ clean you up. You come to God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.